Yes, the fear of the Lord came upon them. And so Joseph came in, and he kept his stiff upper lip at first, and he asked them, he said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke?" And he said, "Yes, it is." And he looked upon him, and he revealed himself. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you threw into the pit. I am Joseph, your brother." And they were like those men that must have been at the tomb, those angels that fell back when the glory of God came and Jesus rose in resurrection. They fell back. I'm sure the brethren of Joseph must have fallen back. How could this be? We thought Joseph was either dead by now or certainly in bondage in Egypt. How could he be this royal man? This man of great authority over all the treasures of Egypt. How could this be? And so they were fearful. And he took Benjamin, and he fell upon his neck, and Benjamin fell upon his neck. So here they were holding each other, one neck upon there, the other neck upon him. And the neck, my brethren, speaks of the will. And so Jesus put his will upon us. We put our will upon him. Our wills were one. We had that embrace of our will becoming one. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then he proceeded to forgive his brethren. He said, "It was not you that did it unto me. It was God. It was God that did it unto me, and he did it unto me for good, to save many alive." At this day, he meant it unto me for good, and he knew, he caused them to know that they were forgiven. But that meal was quite interesting, because when they brought all the portions, they came to Benjamin, and they brought him 5 messes of food. Now this word mess is rather interesting. When I was down in North Carolina, no, this was Arkansas. This brother, his wife would say, "Would you go and pick me a mess of beans or maybe a mess of potatoes or whatever?" Finally, I said, "You know, I'm sorry, but I'm from Canada. And up there, when we talk about a mess, well, that's a mess. It's something that's, it's all over. It's a mess. What is this mess of beans and mess of potatoes that you're talking about?" "Oh," they said, "it means a large quantity of something, like something that is a good measure. An abundant, not just a few beans or a few potatoes, a mess of beans is a good quantity." And so Joseph gave Benjamin 5 messes, 5 large quantities. Well, man, he's just a kid. He's only 17. How could he eat that much? Well, the Lord wants to see something there. 5 is the number of grace. He gave him 5 times as much grace as his brethren had. Do you like it? Do you like it? Hallelujah. And you know, I've been seeing that 5 times measure of grace being passed around at this camp. Yesterday we ate 5 messes of grace all day long, and today I think we've had about 10. Haven't we? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And you know, this grace doesn't come naturally to us, because it has to be worked in us by the Spirit, by suffering, by being brought low in the eyes of our brethren, all that sort of thing. I talked to someone yesterday about remitting sins, and they said, "Oh, I guess I believe in that, but I think that, you know, if someone needed to have their sins remitted, if they'd wronged me, I would do it. If they came and apologized to me, I'd surely remit their sins." Uh-huh, I thought to myself, yes, this is what the law says. If they will make it right, yes, I'll forgive you. But you know what this five messes of grace says? Don't wait for them to humble themselves and come to you and apologize. You remit their sins right now, even while they're still angry at you and casting darts at you, casting your name out as evil. Remit their sins right now. You've got plenty of it. You've got five measures. Five measures, much more than any of the other brethren have that are under the law. This one's under the law. He doesn't have enough grace to do that. But if you can do that, you'll set him free so that God can work that grace in him. But if you don't remit his sins, then he's still in bondage to that offense. And he'll not be able to rise above it or let the Lord in to do that work until you release him from your bad feelings or your resentments or things like that. So I know this Benjamin Company when I meet them, because I'll tell you what the Lord is doing. I see them all partaking of five measures of grace. I see it. I see it working. Maybe they're just on their first measure, but boy, they know, hey, this is different. I've never experienced anything like this before. It's unusual, but I like it. Isn't that wonderful? So, in this lunch where they're having at noonday in the brightest sun, Joseph allows them to see his brother eating this abundance, partaking of this abundance of grace. The brethren don't have it yet, but, whoa, they're looking at him. He's got something different from what we have. Glory to God. Now, after they had their lunch and so on, they had to pack up their sacks and go on their way back to Goshen to take the food home. And Joseph told his man in charge, he said, put their money back. Not only the money they brought back, but the money they brought this time, double money, put it back in their sacks. And in the sack of the younger one, Benjamin, I want you to put my silver cup. And this was not just a small drinking goblet that he put in. It was, I understand, a large cup from which Joseph poured out wine to others. So he put that one in Benjamin's sack. So off they go down the road, just feeling full of mixed emotions. They had found their brother, and they had food, and Benjamin's safe, and all like that, and they gave him Simeon, and so everything looks pretty rosy, until turun, 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 tura, turun, 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 tura, here come the horsemen behind them, and they stop them, just like a Wild West show, get off your camels, or whatever, they're riding donkeys, we want to check your load here. They hauled the sacks out, they said, you know, Joseph's divining cup is missing. This silver cup of our master, it's missing, and we want to make sure to see if you've taken it with you. And so they started from the eldest to the youngest, and they found it in Benjamin's sack. But before they find it, while they're still looking, the other brothers are really disturbed, and they said, well, we don't have it. We would never take it. And if you find any of us that have it, he will die, and the rest of us will be your bond servants. You can take his life. And so when it came to Benjamin, they said, then they had to take them back to Joseph. Joseph wants to talk to you about that. And so this is what the brothers had said. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. Now that was really something. That was something for them. Their hearts are changing already. And so, when they get back to Joseph, Joseph vetoes that. He didn't want that. He said, the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get up in peace unto your father. Joseph's saying, I want the one with the cup in his sack. Ha ha. With that cup in his sack. And this cup, remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, we want to entreat the Lord that we could sit on either side of you in your glory? And he said, well, if you can drink my cup, you can sit there. And so that's the same with the cup in our sack. If you can drink that cup, the Lord gives you. You can sit on his right hand as the son of his right hand. And we don't just take a few sips. He said, drink ye all of it. All of it. And our cups have come in different sizes and in different measures, but we have all been asked to drink that cup. And we didn't ask for this cup to be put in our sack. We didn't ask to go this way of the cross and to go through things that the average churchgoer never experiences. And while we're going through it, they're looking down on us and calling us Benoni, son of my sorrow. We didn't ask for this, but it was by divine appointment. Joseph did it. Our Jesus did it, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He put it in the sack of the remnant of the one who had come forth from Rachel, not the ones that had come forth from the law. There's no cup in their sacks. It's in the sack of the one that was added unto Joseph. Joseph's name means added, and Benjamin was added unto Joseph. In other words, Joseph is Jesus, and we are that company that's being added unto Jesus. He is the head, we are the body, and the body grows up into the head to make one body. Hallelujah. So we are that portion that is added unto him. He didn't add the whole body of Christ at once. He added first the remnant company, because that's how he does it. He didn't want us to think by dint of numbers we could pull this off. No. He had a small number that he was going to put through the fire and bring forth. Hallelujah. And so he said, the man in whose hand the cup is found. You have to not only know that it's in your tent, in your sack, but you have to take it in your hand and say, yes, Lord, I will bear this cup. I will drink from it. I will pour out whatever you put in it. I will take the cup of the Lord and drink it. Hallelujah. And so Pharaoh said, take your father and your households, and I'll give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. But before they go, I want to remind you of something, and that is the whole issue of this story of the remnant has to do with what? Food, doesn't it? From beginning to end, food is the issue, because there's a famine in the land and there's a lack of food, and so no food could be forthcoming until Benjamin came to where Joseph was, to where Jesus is. Remember that word I first said to you at the beginning? The Lord spoke to the sister, Benjamin is coming, and there'll be no more food until he is released to come where the Father is. Hallelujah. So I want to digress just a little bit here to give you a scripture that is so potent. Benjamin, well, each of the tribes had a prophecy from their father Jacob when he died. And because the remnant is so relevant to us, we need to look at the prophecy concerning us. What does he say about Benjamin when Jacob is dying? What did he say about us? He said, Benjamin shall raven a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. In the scriptures, it says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. But in the original, as is not there. It's been put in by the translators. It's not there. It says, Benjamin shall raven a wolf. Means to tear in pieces and feed. And who or what is this wolf? The wolf are the beastly, carnal teachings of man's system. And Benjamin is going to tear them to pieces and turn them into food. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He'll tear them into pieces and turn them into food for the hungry. Hallelujah. Benjamin shall raven a wolf, tear in pieces and feed. those beastly carnal teachings of man's systems, to tear them down. We heard Benjamin ravening this morning, didn't we? Whoa! One brother said, before I came up here, the Lord told me, I want you to know my heart. He said, Lord, how can I know your heart? How do I learn about your heart? And as he sat this morning and Gary was ministering about God's true heart and his true nature, this brother said to me afterwards, I heard God's heart. I understood his nature like I had never seen it before. And so Gary Benjamin was up here doing that. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Benjamin shall raven a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. Now, what time are we in? We're coming into the morning of the new day. In the morning, we shall devour the prey, and at night, he shall divide the spoil. In the evening of this dispensation, at night, the evening of this dispensation, we will share it with those who have been in darkness, in nighttime, in ignorance, in lack of understanding. At night he shall divide the spoil. Well, we have abundance of spoil that the Lord has given us. And in the night, in the darkness in which we find ourselves, we are going to share it with those who are in that darkness. But we are in the morning, and we're devouring that which has been our prey, that which has preyed upon God's people to take away their peace, to take away their confidence in God. We're going to devour that thing. And in the midst of their darkness, we're going to give them light and set them free and divide the spoil with them. Here, I've gone up and I have got this spoil. I have these treasures to share with you. Hallelujah. I want to share that verse with you from John 4 and 34, where Jesus tells us what his meat is. We're talking about food here. And Jesus told us what his meat is. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that is our meat also. That's the meat of the remnant, to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. And now we're going to find out what treasures Joseph sent with them. He was asking them to come down to Egypt and to dwell there with him in safety. They'll give them land and they'll provide food until the famine is over. And the Pharaoh was certainly agreeing with this. He said, take your father and your households, I'll give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. Now, before I tell you what he gave them, I want to discuss what it means as Joseph ruling over all Egypt. We say that lightly. Well, Joseph ruled over all Egypt. What does it mean? Egypt is that sense realm, that descender, where we descend into the sense realm. Hey, Jesus rules over all that realm. Our Joseph, our heavenly Joseph, rules over all that sense realm. And he calls us as his Benjamin company to rule over that sense realm also. Hallelujah. To rule over that sense realm, that carnal nature, all those things that lead us away from that new creation man. And so that's why he had to wait for Benjamin to come. He said, Benjamin must come to where I am, because he must also rule over Egypt. None of the other brothers ever ruled over all Egypt but Joseph, because he had come through suffering unto glory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And so the gifts that he sent back with his family to Goshen, they're very significant. Very significant. And he said to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. Each of the brethren had a change of raiment. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment We keep running into this five all the time. The changes of raiment of grace. Oh my. You know, I want just to digress here for a minute about these changes of raiment. Did you know that we have different garments that we wear all the time, and we're maybe not aware of it? When we come into worship and we're before the Lord, we have on our holy garments of the high priest as we're ministering unto the Lord, and understand this to be spiritual. And then when we're with the world or at the job, we don't wear that garment. They can't stand to see it because the Shekinah glory is upon it. We hang that in the closet until we get alone with Jesus. We wear another garment out to the world. I learned this a few years back. We were in this certain town. We have a dear friend there who belonged to this Benjamin Company, and we called up to see if we could come over and have a little visit. Oh, she said, oh, I feel so bad. She said, some of my family, my sisters and their husbands and so on, are coming, and I'd love to ask you to come too, but they don't know anything about these things, so they'd want to talk natural things, and I would be dying to talk of spiritual things with you and Bill, and I couldn't, so I don't know what to do. I said, sister, don't give it a second thought. There's no problem. It looks like the Lord has told you to wear your garment of accommodation today for your family. And so we wouldn't come into your place with our holy garments on. When you have on your garments of accommodation, we will come another time. The Lord arranges these things, and they were coming before ever we came to town. We'll have another opportunity. She said that blessed her so much because she didn't feel, well, you know, I've rejected my friends or this or that. I said, no, that's the garment that you are to wear today, that garment of accommodation to meet them wherever they are. We wear it all the time. And sometimes we think, Lord, I've had this old garment of accommodation on for so long. I want to get into those holy garments. I want to get into that praise and worship, into your presence. And so we do wear these different garments, and it's all right to have on your garment of accommodation where they don't know who you are, and they can't see who you are. You look just the same to them, except your countenance is brighter and your eyes are shining and you've got a smile on your face. There's a lot of differences that way, but you don't really expose yourself to them. And so Benjamin was given five changes of raiment. So I think he had an abundance of ability to help people wherever they were, to meet them at the lowest or at the highest plane. He was able to do that. And he wants us to do that too. We won't ever think we're so high that we can't condescend to someone of low estate or to a child or to an immature one. We'll just put on our garment of accommodation. And if we have opportunity to be with the priest, fine. We'll all have on our priestly garments and have a wonderful time. It's okay, because Benjamin had lots of garments. We can be all things to all men, whatever it needs to reach them, right? Okay, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so to all of them, they gave each man, the men of the law, have a change of raiment, yes. But Benjamin has five. He can change from grace to grace to grace to grace. Glory to God. And he also gave him, remember the five messes? And he also gave him 300 pieces of silver. Now, 300 is very significant in the scriptures. 300 equals perfect wholeness. You like that, Benjamin? Perfect wholeness Jesus gave to us of a sound mind, of a sound, loving heart. This was a gift from Joseph to the son of his right hand. Perfect wholeness. And you remember the alabaster box that Mary had brought? And Judas rebuked her because, what's the meaning of this waste, you know? It costs so much and here you are pouring it all over his head. She said, I've done it to anoint him for burial. And you know the value of that alabaster box? Was 300, I don't know 300 what, whatever they called their money, but it was 300 denarii or whatever it was. the price of perfect wholeness that she paid to anoint her Lord. Hallelujah. There's another 300 in Noah's Ark, because the dimensions of the Ark were 300 by 50 by 30. And that means complete deliverance for the mature. The 30 is the mature part. Remember, Jesus could not minister as a priest until he was 30. That's the time of maturity. That's the age when they could be a priest, when they're 30. That's a time of maturity. And so he gave to his Benjamin company 300 pieces of silver, complete deliverance for the mature. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to it. Complete deliverance for the mature. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And there's another very significant 300 found with King Solomon. He had 300 shields, which is complete deliverance from war. Do you like that? Complete deliverance from the war that rages within us. Flesh versus spirit. Spirit against the flesh. Carnal mind against the spiritual mind. Complete deliverance from war. And remember when the children of Israel were to go in, the second generation, to go in and possess the land? Joshua said that they had to remain 40 years in the wilderness until, did it say until all the older generation were dead? I used to think it said that. It doesn't say that. It says until all the men of war have died. Have you been a man of war? Hey, have you been a man of war? If so, he's going to slay that man of war. You'll not enter in taking that man of war with you. You'd have to stay in the wilderness until the man of war will die.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write us, Gary and Carol Sigler, 201 Union Avenue Southeast, number 187, Renton, Washington, 98059. Our telephone number is area code 425-430-2941. Our fax number is area code 425-430-2942. All of our messages are distributed on a no-charge basis as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. If you have internet access, visit us at sigler.org. That's SIGLER.ORG.